we offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
As our culture becomes more and more comfortable living without rights and wrongs, the less we give any thought to the seriousness of sin. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, help us to understand through your word the seriousness of sin. Help us, O God, to understand what sin can do in our relationship with other people, how it can even tear our own souls apart, and above all, what it can do in our relationship with you. But God, as you show us the seriousness of sin, we pray today through the preaching of your word and the Holy Gospel, we may know that our salvation is in Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing nearby heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, as our culture becomes more and more comfortable with relativism, the less and less sin is a factor in our thinking. Or maybe we could put it this way, maybe it's just a little bit plainer. As our culture becomes more and more comfortable living without any rights or wrongs, the less we give any thought to the seriousness of sin. Think of it, friend. If there are no objective rights and wrongs for all people, then there is no such a thing as sin. That supposedly gives people a lot of freedom to live as they please with no guilt, and that's rather appealing to many. But sin is extremely serious, even though our culture does not always want to treat it that way. What is sin in this postmodern culture of ours? The philosophy of humanism teaches us that human beings are basically good people. That is the way that we're born. Anything about us that is objectionable has been learned. It has not come from our inheritance, but rather it has come from our environment. And maybe we ought to call sin what it really is, they will say. It's nothing more than immaturity. anything about that which is objectionable, we can perhaps overcome by good education. And if that doesn't quite do it, then a little bit of counseling whereby the human being is able to take his own power and his own strength and get over some of his immaturity. However, much of what in the past, they will go on to say, which was labeled sin and gave people a great guilt complex, is not sin at all and should not be taken too seriously. This is the culture in which we live. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We become immersed in this thinking, and consequently, it goes into our own thought process. Therefore, it is important, as we find ourselves deep into the Lenten season, of thinking about the seriousness of sin when we look at the cross at Calvary. For sin, according to the Scriptures, is very, very serious. For a few moments then, you're either in church, in the worship service, and the sermon is centered on the seriousness of sin. Or you're at home, or in your automobile, and you've turned on your radio, or even a television set. And the biblical message regarding sin is being presented. We talk about sin as being a state. We talk about sin as being a condition. We go on to say on the basis of what the Scriptures have told us that we are born with a sinful nature. Listen to what St. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 5, verse 12. Just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all men sinned. In other words, what Paul is saying, we were born that way. That's our nature. I inherited it from my father and mother, and I passed it on to my sons and daughters. Original sin is a biblical teaching that is seen clearly as we observe our own attitudes and what is so natural for us. Original sin simply means that we gravitate away from God. It's just natural to move away from God. St. Paul put it that way, all, and he uses that strong word panta in the Greek language, all have sinned. Everyone save the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have come short of the glory of God. He goes on to say that that sin is so serious that the wages of sin is death. In another section of his book to the Romans, St. Paul says, while we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. That certainly is not what we believe in our culture today. That is not what is taught to us. We are not taught that we are helpless. We are taught over and over again there is nothing in this life that you and I cannot do if we just set our minds to it. Well, I know a lot of friends who say they're helpless, and I join with them. I think of some of my friends, some who are still alcoholics in the sense that they're living with that terrible disease of theirs. They have not been able, even by the grace of God, to overcome it. And you tell them to stop drinking, and they'll tell you that that is an impossibility. Unless I have help, divine help, I cannot conquer this affliction. That's what Paul is saying. Sin is so serious, it makes us helpless. And then he describes us as ungodly. That means that we do not gravitate back to God and seek to do his will by our human nature. Rather, it is so easy for us to turn away from him. That's quite a difference, you see. So there is a real conflict between what our culture thinks and what the Bible has to say. But God has not left us in our sin. And now you see the price that he paid in order that you and I might be forgiven our sins and given the power to overcome many of those sins. We begin with that passage of Scripture known to so many people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, God can have nothing to do with sin. A holy God can have nothing to do with a sinful person. But there is a relationship that God does not want to see completely destroyed. And so he decides, I'm going to set up a plan of redemption. And that he does by the sending of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave that Son. That whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us that much. He could have discarded us. He could have said, I'll start all over again. Why did I ever bother with the humankind? But no, he sets up that plan of redemption, and he comes after us. That's the Lenten message. Peter understood that only after he had been schooled by Jesus, as he stood there probably a long ways from the cross because he did not want to be identified. He was afraid that he too might be crucified at that point. But later on, when Peter began to understand what Jesus had to do, how he had to die as a payment for the sins of the world, the sacrifice for the sins of the world, this is what he writes. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but it is with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And later on in his book he says, Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. In other words, a sacrifice had to be made for the sin of humankind. And in the Old Testament, we are told how they would bring their lambs and doves and so forth to make sacrifice for the sin that they have committed. But in the fullness of time, God sent into this world his Son, the Lord Jesus. And if you read through the book of Hebrews in your New Testament, you'll see how the sacrifice has now been made once and for all. No more sacrifice. Jesus Christ had made that sacrifice for us. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He took our sins upon him. And he died. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God died as a payment for the sins of the world. That's how serious sin is. As far as God is concerned, humankind can make light of it if they wish. And philosophies can say, well, there is no such a thing as sin around. But according to the revelation that we have in the Bible, God says that is not true. Sin is so serious that unless it be forgiven, and that comes alone in Jesus Christ, there is no relationship between God and the creation. God will have nothing to do with sin. Either the human being has got to pay for his or her sin, or someone has got to pay for it. And that someone is none other than Jesus Christ. It is by grace, then, through faith in that Savior, that our sins can be forgiven. That forgiveness is offered to all. And so, if we will, in faith and by the grace of God, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then God looks at us through the cross, through Christ, as spotless and clean. And therefore, we have our redemption. Then Paul could write, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, the most terrible thing is what sin can do in our relationship with Almighty God. But think of the seriousness of sin, people, when it comes to our relationship also with those who are round about us. We say, well, it doesn't matter so much. We live in a different day, and we look at things more broadly than once we did. Let's take one of these accounts that so often we read in our newspaper. Here is a young man and a young lady who go out on a date. And the results are that they imbibe in immoral living. And 9 months later, a child is born. Now the mother has to care for the child, the one who made her pregnant. Does not want to have anything to do with the marriage. And so it is that she tries to do the best she can. In lonesome hours, there's a man who comes around and he wants to cohabitate with her. The result is that they live together and he kind of enjoys her, but he doesn't care for that little child. That little child who never asked to come into this world is suddenly bounced around. And one day he is either hurt or killed. And the authorities come, and there's a trial, and you can read this account again and again in one paper after another. And the results are that these people have to pay the price. And the one who killed the child is going to go to prison for the rest of his or her life. Is sin serious? Did sin lead them into paths that they wished they had never gone? Certainly did. Is there any hope for those two people whom I have just described? There certainly is. That's why Jesus Christ came. This is not to condone that sin, but it is to say that even there, in a sin as wretched as that, there is forgiveness, because Jesus Christ took those sins upon him and went to the cross at Calvary. That's the seriousness. And I would ask then those who are thoroughly convinced that our culture is far advanced in this whole matter of spirituality than what it once was. How would you counsel that person who has been found guilty not only by God but in a court of law and must spend his or her life in prison? What is the hope? The hope is Jesus Christ, no matter how grievous the sin might have been. Not long ago, I listened to a lady whose life had been hurt greatly by gossip. She went on to say, you know, this is one of the worst sins that we have. It destroys the reputation, and it destroys a person. How true she is. Gossip can really cut a person apart. So, my friend, here you have two viewpoints of sin. The one adopted by postmodern culture that says, don't worry about it. Times have changed. We can correct what's wrong in your life. Go on and enjoy it and give way to your emotions. The other one says that sin, and this is a biblical picture, sin is sin. That's what it says in God's Word. And God's Word is the same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. So I ask you again in this Lenten season, as your eyes are focused on the cross, who do you follow? The voice of today's culture or the teaching of God's holy word? Amen. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this postmodern age, where absolutes, rights, and wrongs are not taken very seriously, make us your children, aware that God's word still stands, that it is the same today as it was yesterday, and it will be the same tomorrow. So, Father, help us to examine our lives in the light of your word, in the light of those Ten Commandments that you have given to us. Help us to understand that you do not condone sin, but that you forgive it for those who will trust in Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. This is our petition that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write, call, or email our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us to know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will receive our book, a collection of Christian Crusaders' 10 Most Requested Sermons of 2002. Please call or write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, to share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tape CDs or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our website is here to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.